7 o'clock, let's call this meeting in order, please. Everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Rich, you didn't see anyone kneeling, did you?
No.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Coke?
Here.
Colosimo?
Present.
Plocher?
Here.
Milchewski?
Here.
Freiters?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Turulis?
Here.
Hernandez?
Here.
A quorum is established.
Do we have any citizen comments this evening on anything that's on the agenda? Please approach the podium, sign in, and state your name for the record, please. Oh, I'm sorry.
There is one right here.
Is there?
Yes.
Okay, we'll do that next.
Do you want me to wait?
No, you're fine.
All right. My name is Andrew Graham, living countryside. Just like to thank the City Council for finally hearing in advance of the vote and clarifying the language of the non-highway vehicle ordinance here in Yorkville. It goes to show good faith effort that the disabled people in this community are heard by the City Council. I'd also like to thank personally Bart Olson, Kathleen Fieldor, and my attorney Rachel Alper of Equip for Equality for handling all the behind-the-scenes communication between the city and myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening? Do we have any amendments to tonight's agenda?
I do.
Okay.
I would like to remove number 4 from PW 2017-60 so I can vote for the consent agenda.
You got it. We'll put number 4 under public works. Do we have any other amendments?
I agree with that.
All those in favor of approving consent agenda as amended, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, what do we have next here? Bills, minutes, mayor's report.
Well,
excuse me?
Yes.
Do we make a motion on this?
No.
Yeah, no, we just voted. We just said aye.
I heard Chris second.
That's what I heard too.
Which Chris?
Which Chris?
Cut out Chris or real Chris?
Oh, you guys are getting technical on me tonight.
So who's so moved and who seconded?
Well,
my fault.
I seconded. Okay. So we got a vote then, right?
Do we just still move though or no?
This is a voice vote. It's a motion to second.
Okay.
I heard Jackie make the motion, I heard Chris second.
I made the motion.
There you go.
To amend the agenda.
You guys want to just start over?
No.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to authorize Wayne Christensen to repair and reinstall all components of well number 9 using all new pipe for a cost not to exceed $174,076.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Comments or questions?
This is it, right?
Right, Eric.
This is it.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Aye.
Freiters?
Aye.
Turulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Coke?
Aye.
Motion passes.
So we will move on to Public Works Committee report, which I will turn over to Alderman Freiters.
All right, we'll stick with the agenda first. Public Works, we have the first reading of the ordinance amending the water use and service regulations. So since there's no comments, basically.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, I was just being polite.
Yeah, I was gonna let him rock it, but you know. Mr. Carlo, please proceed.
I guess my concern is multiple unit buildings, and mandating that each unit have a separate meter, which is good. But if that is not feasible, if there are delinquent counts in a multi-unit big building, the entire building gets shut off. I don't know about that. I mean, you got a four-unit building, family one, two, and three are paying their water bill, whether it's directly to the city or to the landlord or however they do it, and number four is not paying. That's problematic. And I understand that with a four-unit building and one meter, that the landlord's probably paying it. But I mean, I got these calls in the last 3 weeks. Well, my tenant didn't pay me, so I'm not paying the water bill. But the other three people have paid. So we're cutting off three families, or two families, or one family, who paid their portion to the landlord. I don't know. I just have a problem with that, so that's something we're gonna, I'm just pointing it out.
Which section of the ordinance is that?
I'm looking at it from the memo prepared by, in the case that it is not feasible, that meaning that each unit have their own meter.
Right.
If there are delinquent accounts in the multi-unit building, the entire building may be shut off if it is attached by one meter to all units. So you got three paying families and one maybe delinquent person. And we're not putting these three people in. And I already see Kathy shaking her head, ready to yell at me.
No, I mean, this is a traditional problem. The water is in a rental unit is the liability, the responsibility of the owner. And when the owner doesn't pay the bill, because unless it's separately metered, as you say, how do you know who's paid the bill or who hasn't paid the bill? You don't know. And to eliminate the right to turn off water, because traditionally, water is supposed to be supplied by the landlord. If he doesn't, they have grounds for eviction. They can call, they have civil opportunities for a breach of the terms of the lease. But you can't just say, because none of us know what portion of the rent is even attributable to the water bill. So you can't say the other three are paying. You're saying their rent isn't delinquent.
Right, I assume in a one-metered, four-unit building, the landlord has worked his carrying costs into the rent, including a water bill. Some landlords might be petulant and say, well, one tenant is not paying their rent, hence I'm not paying, or they might make partial payment on their water bill. They pay 75% of the water bill, because that's what they receive.
The liability that you have to the other tenant is extreme. And we can't, that's getting involved in their civil contract between each other through their lease agreement. Lease agreement says the landlord's required to provide water and the landlord isn't doing it. I mean, there's no other way to hold property owners responsible in the event there is a rental property. And as you point out, it does not necessarily have to be a four unit. It could even be, I rent to you, I don't pay the water bill, the water's cut off because that is what I've maintained in the So what I'm saying is, everyone could have paid their rent and the landlord still doesn't make the payment. There's no way to have accountability without that provision.
Kathy, can you talk about like the discretion within the ordinance for us to implement that on the operational side? As far as it being a may shut off, so that, I mean, would we need a policy that said if there are 10 units in a building and one person is 1 month late and the other nine are paying, that, you know, we would maybe not shut that person off versus the reverse scenario where there's 10 units and nine of them aren't paying?
Yes, we can develop a policy like that. However, the fact of the matter is, the landlord is making the profit, so the landlord should be held accountable for failing to meet the responsibilities that he has under his lease.
But the language of the ordinance would allow us the discretion to be able to make.
But on the north side, you have the where the condos are. What is it?
Bristol Bay.
Thank you. And yeah, some of those units are all metered under one meter, right?
No, they are all meters.
And what has been our experience with a multifamily rental non-payment of water?
But back to Bristol Bay real quick though. But were there issues when there was a water issue? Because there was one water line, we had to close everybody?
Sprinkler.
Yeah, fire suppression.
That was a fire suppression.
And they're all hooked together?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that's not metered.
But didn't we discuss this in Public Works, yeah. I think. There aren't any multi-units with one.
There's. I asked the question, and yeah. I think there was...
No, there is one.
One on the house quarter. Right.
So,
is that the only one?
There's. I would say the vast majority of multi-family units that have one water service are homes that were converted to duplexes, you know, in the 70s or 80s. It's what I've seen and going out doing inspections. I know of two in the city limits right now, and those are one water service, but they're individually metered. So at that point, the city could shut off those waters independently. But most of the big multifamily, anything built since the late 80s residential, will almost always have individual water services. They're not individual. They go to one meter room, and then it'll branch off. Each of those units have one meter there. They might have one water feed, but all the units are individually metered.
We do have some in Power Support that were built in the late 70s, early 80s, that's one service, three, four units. And what we do there is we actually work with the landlord if he has one that has not been in, and he has shut off the water and we have tagged it. So it's just we do work with them to try to do anything we can to match up the whole building.
Thank you. I have a question. In a four-unit building, why is it that you have four service charges when there's only one line in and one line out? Why is there four service charges for these people? I don't see the fairness or that issue at all. If you've got a building and you got one line in, water line, and you got a sewer line out, why is there four service charges? Most of the time these water bills are all service charges. There's nothing that people have used. There's no water being used or nothing. Same way when a tenant moves out, the landlord gets billed and there's no water being used. All the charges are just service charges. That's not right. That is not right at all. You're being charged for something that you didn't use. If you could say that about every gas station in Yorkville there, same way. Okay, we've got a gas station sitting there, we're gonna charge every individual a certain amount of money because we're here. This is not right. I think this should be changed, the building should be changed. Granted, there needs to be a service charge, but not four for one building. When a tenant moves out, then the landlord is charged for a service charge for that particular unit. That there's nothing, no water being used, no sewer, no nothing. No water treatment plant has been used, nothing's been, no charge. It's free money for the city. It's like stealing, really. It's no different than stealing.
Well, thank you, sir. We're past a portion of citizen comments in this meeting. I would recommend if you would like to discuss this more, you show up at a Public Works Committee meeting. If you want to reach out to staff, they can give you dates and times. Or we can put something on the agenda and you can come to a committee meeting and discuss it. Okay, we're not really at that point in this meeting right here.
Okay,
okay? Thank you.
All right.
Anything else on this? Yes.
I shared some of the same concerns from this one that. I guess what I'd really like to see then is the land, if you're going to charge the owner of the building, one of the for his four units, then he needs to be notified as soon as possible from us that someone is at default. So he doesn't, because he technically, if he gets an estimate and an actual reading, and then get there can be two or three payments into the process, you know. I know I think we did say we're gonna change it to 30 days, but does that notice go right to the landlord? Or the person that had the billing that didn't pay?
However, the landlord account on the property, we will notify them in accordance with their wishes. So if a landlord prefers to receive notice and have the tenant's name on the account and have the tenant do all the front end administration, they'll get notice as soon as the tenant does. So, I mean, the way the billing system works is you use your water for 2 months, and go out, we run the water meter. We print out the bill at the end of that month. And so typically you get notified like you are.
like the lag time in there, just because that's how long it takes to read the meters and send out the bill and get some payment. So the scenario I think you're worried about is a tenant skipping town and the landlord is, you know, $800 worth of back payments. And that's the same risk that every property has generally throughout the city. And in that, if they skip town without paying it, you know, you can have a $1,000 water bill after a couple months of usage and fees, you know, that is left sitting there until we leave the property.
But can we have it where as soon as it's in not paid, you know, past their payment due date, a notice gets sent to the person who owns the structure?
Yes, I believe our system is set up such that every time a bill gets sent out with a tenant's name on it, the landlord has opted to set up the account that way. They get notified at the exact same time.
Okay, so then, you know, I know they have a chance to pass through the bill to pay it up, so I just want to make sure the landlord knows before that.
But Ken, are you talking about a building that has separate water meters?
I'm talking about, like, okay, you have an apartment, you have a house that was turned into four units.
Right.
And it, let's say they're each individually on a...
individual meter.
Yeah, paying their bill. If, because the people we're going to go after aren't the people that are actually the bill, they go out and wait and say, I don't care. But it's going to go to the landlord, the person who owns the building, and he's going to be stuck with it. I just think he should have a notice right away when it's in past due. That's just something I think is fair.
Yeah, the minute it goes late and we send out that secondary notice, the landlord can also get a copy of that exact same time. So the tenant does, as long as you've set up your account like that. Yes.
But what recourse does the landlord have, though? If one of my tenants isn't paying their water bill, why do I care if I get notified? Odds are they're not paying their rent either. And what am I going to do?
But you're going to take on that debt that just happened. That's going to, you know, let's say it's 2 more months before it actually gets cashed in, the debt, you're going to be paying that.
Is that, I mean, we hold the property owner liable for a tenant that skips out?
Yes.
Ultimately, our system is set up such that the property owner is always liable.
Yeah. That's how I thought it was.
That's why it's better to have one meter and just roll it into the rent.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
Yeah, I don't believe, and we talked about this a little bit, but I don't believe the plumbing code and the existing building codes would allow that to occur in the future. So all the buildings that are currently set up that way are basically grandfathered in until they decide to make renovations. And then, so we should never have this issue in the future. It should all be one meter for each unit.
Or you have a competent local attorney draft your lease, which states that if you default on your water bill, it is a violation of the lease agreement.
Correct.
And you don't use an Office Max lease.
Correct.
So instead of shorting up your lease, just say it.
So your answer to Ken's question is, it's the responsibility of the landlord to duplicate that bill.
Yes.
The city doesn't just do it. Correct. Whenever you sign up for a new water account, property owners can have the obligation to put it, or can have the option to put it under the landlord or the tenant. Put it under the tenant's name. They have the ability to duplicate notices within the system so that the tenant and the landlord always can send notices.
So it's
connected.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no
comment. Anything else on this one? Yes, sir.
So those will be back in front of Public Works on the 17th next month?
The first order or first reading process usually just means you take them to City Council once, then it's back in front of City Council at the next meeting. To the extent that you wanted to talk about a subsection of this ordinance, you either take the whole thing back to Public Works or you can approve everything else and then deal with that existing issue separately, which I guess is what would be my recommendation. I think if there's a separate issue.
Well, I mean, if you have concerns, please show up to the meeting on the 17th. Let's talk about it. But I think one of the, it's kind of funny how you made the comment, and then as we're talking about it, the explanation kind of, that's why they're metered out individually. Because if you have the city chasing around one landowner, trying to figure out which one of their tenants isn't paying their water, then that's an administrative duty that could be automatically done. So the reason why we invest in each individual property or unit that's condoed out on a property to be individually metered is to avoid this. Because administrative costs and checking up higher and higher up the chain, that's what wastes city money. So I've never thought of it as free money. We invested in the meter, we invested in the infrastructure, you're going to be living here. And if you want to live here, you kind of want to flush your toilets and drink water. So I think it makes sense to invest in a clean and an accurate way of documenting who owns what, who's paying for what, and if you don't pay for it, who gets penalized for it. So yeah, let's bring it back to committee. Please show up October 17th, 6 p.m. Hopefully we'll have finger sandwiches and stuff, but let's talk about it.
But we'll have a city council meeting before that.
Right, so we're gonna put this off so that we can talk to him about it on the 17th.
So you want a motion to return it to public works?
The entire ordinance or just the section that is in question?
When you open a can of worms, I'm gonna pick one more.
The discussion of the notice issue and the billing and the single turnoff for four units is a small percentage. It isn't even really being changed from our existing ordinance.
Right. Well, I think if we're going to do it, I'd like to do it as a sandwich. Not as an individual slice of bread.
Yes, Joe.
Pete, doesn't the plumbing code mandate a lot of this?
There's a lot of this mandated by plumbing code. Every individual resident has to have the ability to turn on and off their own water, and that's for emergency situations. An angle stop blows off on your toilet under your hardwood floors, you're not able to shut the water main off, so you can have a plumber out to fix that. So there's a lot of things here that you technically could go with one water service and one water meter plumbing code, but the only people that would be able to have access to that meter room would be the city employees to shut individual units on and off. And each individual unit would have to have their own water main shut off also. But the reason why the city would be only going to have access to that water meter room would prevent a landlord or a owner of property from indiscriminately shutting off tenants whenever they want. Because as a citywide, we're not, my understanding is that we're not obligated to furnish water if we don't pay the water bill. But as a landlord-tenant relationship, the property maintenance code and generally legal aspects of code enforcement, but landlord can't terminate certain critical life services, such as water, sewage removal, heat, where those things are mandated in the code to be provided for a tenant. Air conditioning is not, that's considered a luxury. But yeah, so you could get around it, but you'd have to do a lot of tiptoeing. You'd have to probably talk to the state about it to make sure they were all doing the best interpretation of the code. As you know, it's pretty, it's kind of a, it's this is what we think, and then call us if you don't know what we think. So, but in the past, that's what the state inspectors have told me.
So, you've been working on it for 2 years. What's two more weeks, right?
That's fine. I just don't think that anything that you're talking about, either questioning or being proposed to be changed from the audience, is reflected in any of the changes that have been proposed.
Totally 100% understood.
Okay.
All right, so that was the first reading, to be continued.
So did you want to go back to committee or no?
Oh yeah, we need to make a motion to bring it back to committee. I make a motion to bring it back to committee.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Polk made the second.
Yeah.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarullos?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Wilczewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Coke.
Aye.
Clocher.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. I make a motion to approve authorizations number 1 and 2 on the Kennedy Road Shared Use Path ITEP and authorize the city administrator to execute.
So moved.
Comments, questions? Roll call, please.
Colosimo?
Nay.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Wilczewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarullos?
Nay.
Nay?
Nay?
Motion passes.
Okay, no economic development committee report, no public safety report. Admin committee, we have one item.
Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve a resolution approving the Senate amending intergovernmental cooperation agreement for participation in the Aurora Community Convention and Visitor Bureau and authorize the mayor to speak.
Second.
Comments or questions? question. Yes, sir.
What happened to our master plan of just doing this year by year? I mean, that was, we discussed it several times over the last couple of years.
But it wasn't expired. Now it's October. So that was the plan.
And now we got a 5-year plan with renewable after, what, two or three?
Two in each year after that.
Right, you got enough out after two.
But that was the plan if we were going to balance in October, and Saturday is October.
Mr. Mayor? Yes, sir, go ahead.
The plan that we are just about to expire on, that was a 5-year plan with 2 years out. So keep in mind, the past 2 years, this item has been in committee under review and discussion for alternatives every single month, almost, except for the past 2 years. So it has been a year to year after we got to our third year. And consensus of the committee was to stick with it as we were. This is where a municipal marketing program came to light as a, let's try to refocus the funds or a major portion of the funds that Yorko puts into it to get something back more correct. The proposal that's in front of you is a 5-year with a second, third, and fourth year out. And that was something that came about out of our committee meeting as compared to something that was proposed by the CBB. The CBB had a standing 5-year with 2 outs. The exact same kind of thing we had before. So what we're asking is more flexibility through the committee than what the CBP had.
Yes, ma'am.
Another thing that was discussed, which I'm kind of confused with, we talked about that Aurora campus had a certain amount of money. We're the second contributor, and we kind of community talks around, like, is there a way to get us at a camp or to lose the camp? So if we improve this, how do we move forward with that?
So the outcome of that conversation, my understanding, was that the 2-year out would allow us to review after 1 year of seeing where the second hotel generation would be. And so we were throwing out numbers, but then we decided that if the hotel gets constructed at the end of 2018, which is the TIF agreement deadline, and then it's open for all of 2019, then that allows us to have the conversation to opt out after like probably 9 months worth of collections.
That also does put us on the end date with the city of Aurora. So what that would allow us to do is to discuss and negotiate at the same time, if necessary, with Aurora. If we see our hotels are performing very well, our contribution goes up, we would have the ability to ask them to start to renegotiate fairly and raise their cap. That's the timing, that's why we went to the 2.
From a process mechanism too, since this agreement was presented to us by the AACDB board after already been approved by them, my guess is they will either have to go and reapprove it on their end, in which case we can just sign the agreement, or if they come back to us with a change in the agreement to accomplish this that's different from the one that we drafted, we would have to approve it again. So this is an adoption. If they accept this, then we'll sign it and dialogue to go on again at some point in the future. And then just as a little bit of a reminder, last time that we did this, the agreement didn't change. We just approved it within the resolution, the contingency that they would add the municipal marketing pilotship program. So we structured the actual approval on our end a little different, such that the agreement itself didn't change. It was like our memorialization of the agreement. So this is, we're doing it, the actual meeting.
Anything else? Roll call.
Terulis?
Aye.
Colosimo?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Mischewski? Aye. Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Blocher?
Aye.
Freeders?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, nothing from Park Board, Planning and Zoning. Any city clerk's report?
No.
Community and liaison report. Anybody? Staff report? Additional business. I did have one thing I wanted to mention. After the last city council meeting about 2 weeks ago, we were invited to the APA, American Planning Association, Illinois chapter, to receive an award for our comprehensive plan. We were awarded the Daniel Burnham Award from the APA Illinois chapter for an exceptional comprehensive plan. I'd like to thank Christy and her team for all the work on it. I know it was a long process, a lot of citizen involvement, a lot of focus groups, and this puts us in a spot where we could be nominated for the National Daniel Burnham Award, which is a big, big deal. So, very nice to see all that hard work recognized. So thank you, Christy.
Can we clap?
You can clap.
Christy, yeah, Christy! Yeah.
Any other additional business? I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for
pending litigation.
I will second that motion.
Second?
Or first day.
Roll call.
Terulis.
Aye.
Melschewski.
Aye.
Colosimo.
Aye.
Locher.
Nay.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Frieders.
Nay.
Oh, you want to go home?
I don't want to hear what I'm about to hear.
Yeah, you know what you want to hear.
Because I saw.